this movie is total annihilation. Welcome to the Film Threat Podcast. I am Chris Gore, joined by a group of my colleagues from Film Threat. Around the horn, we
Anthony Ray Bench,
Dante James,
Norman Gidney.
And we just got out of a screening of Annihilation starring Natalie Portman.
And Oscar Isaac.
And Oscar Isaac.
Which is Oscar Isaac.
We now have the prequels meeting the sequels. This has happened now in a movie. But I really want to get... We should also mention that we're actually standing at the Century City Ball outside the AMC because, I don't know, you might hear some music in the background or...
We have no control over this music.
It's pleasant music. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Is it, though?
Yeah. And I'll say, for the first chunk of this podcast, we're going to be non-spoilers, but we will be getting into spoilers, and we'll give you fair warning for when that happens. But I want to get first impressions from everyone, because I specifically wanted this group to see it together, because we're all sci-fi genre, you know, we're fans of anything delving into science fiction. And this, because of Alex Garland's involvement, it's who did Ex Machina, this is a more serious science fiction.
And 28 Weeks Later, he wrote that one.
Yes. So, I think it's important to bring out fans of genre who are among our Film Threat writers to discuss the film. So let's just go around in terms of first impressions. Dante, tell me your first impressions of what you thought.
My first impression was, number one, is it's a beautiful film. I thought the cinematography was great. It was funny because, you know, you're watching it and it's almost like a twisted version of like Alice in Wonderland, because it's so pretty.
Yeah.
And then you have these like really dark undertones of the movie. And so I thought that was cool. I felt the story was pretty original. Like the concept was different than a lot of at least modern sci-fi that I've seen recently. So overall, I really liked it.
Cool. And Norm, I need to hear from you. And you're Norm, if you read Norman Gidney's... Norman Gidney. If you read your review, you mostly focus on horror and...
And LGBTQ films.
Yes, yes.
The queer films, the queer community.
The occasional queer films that come our way, which actually, it's more
than
occasional.
This film kind of had both.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't really say anything. Shouldn't really say anything.
I'm not saying anything.
Was that a spoiler?
No,
not really.
No.
I was super vague.
But I want to get your impressions also.
No, I really loved it. I love a film that makes me work and keeps me occupied mentally while, you know, things are a little bit slow here and there, or while they're getting to the next big plot point, and you were constantly trying to decipher what was going on and wrapping your head around it as the characters were going through what they were going through. As Dante said, I mean, the film looks gorgeous. And all of the performances are solid. But Alex Garland is not going to make a movie that's just kind of pablum. He's going to make you work a little. And he's going to challenge you. And that was what I loved.
Okay, Anthony, I got to hear what you think.
Okay. So I really, really enjoyed the film. I thought some of the characters were a little bland, especially compared to Ex Machina, where I thought Oscar Isaac played kind of the billionaire tech guy with just so much charisma. And every time he was on screen, it just blew my mind. This, like, Natalie Portman kind of has a few moments, but she's just kind of bland and boring. But if you look at the film as a whole and just kind of as a sci-fi experience, it reminded me of a terrestrial Prometheus. I would say it's a lot better than Prometheus. This is what
much
I wish
better.
Prometheus was.
Well, the one thing I'll give it is it's at least, you know, in the, I'd say the second half of the movie,
mm-hmm.
going for it. And by
yes.
going for it, I mean like attempting to be smart sci-fi and do something that a lot of these, because the first part, not to give away spoilers, there is a sort of aspect of they're going into this place that is cut off from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Where anyone that's gone into this sort of sphere, they're calling it the Shimmer.
The Shimmer.
Yeah.
The
and
Shimmer.
That's all in the trailers.
Yeah. That's all in the Yeah. When you go in it, nothing has come back.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So there's, and it was so great. You guys both mentioned Norman Dante, that it's beautiful looking, but it's also horrific. It almost reminds me of, like, there was a Todd McFarlane's Alice, actually,
yes. Yeah.
Which has like beautiful and horrible at the same time. So, but also it had aspects.
No, it was
of that.
American McGee.
Yeah. Oh, American McGee. What am I saying? I'm sorry. Yeah. So then, because I think I have some action figures from that.
Yeah, it was a PC game.
Right. So it's got aspects of Alien, Prometheus, a little bit of, well, you know, that would be spoiler territory, so I shouldn't talk about it. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. The performances are really good. I really love Tessa Thomas.
Yeah, definitely.
Tessa Thompson from Thor
Valkyrie
Ragnarok.
From Thor, yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic in it. Like, and she's completely different from her character in Thor.
And Westworld.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, so I want to see more of her, like, for sure, and she's just fantastic in this. So, okay, I want to ask now, in terms of, like, where this ranks, like, because we're seeing, like, a lot of the genre stuff we were saying coming out of the movie, it's like everything is sort of this sequels, Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever. Like, you can't, there's certain things you know you can't do in those films, right? You can't break certain rules because the rules of the universe are set. You know, you can't kill certain characters because we know they have to make it to a certain place. But, like, with something like this, there you have no clue what's going to happen, right? And I it was enjoyable to actually see a movie where it's like, I don't know, I think anyone could die at any moment. Something horrible could happen. And it's good to be, like you said, Norm, like you're working for it. And you really have to, like, think about it. So, what other, now, I know that there was some controversy about the ending of this film. I don't know if we should even begin
no,
to get
No, we should wait
spoilers.
Till...
Okay, I don't know anything about that controversy, but
right,
there
well,
was
I'll
some...
I'll speak about it later.
Okay, there was some whitewashing controversy. Apparently, the character... This movie is based on a trilogy of books, and apparently in the second book, the character is revealed... Natalie Portman's character, Lena, is revealed to be Asian.
Uh-huh.
So there's a little...
So they never even talk about, like, ethnicity, race, whatever?
No, not in the first book. And
I kind of like that, because who cares?
Yeah.
People just put their own... They just imprint their own impressions, and then you could just be whoever.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no description of the character.
Alex Garland is claiming that he never read the second or third book, so he cast Natalie Portman not knowing that the character of Lena is actually supposed to be Asian. But, you know, people are understandably upset about, you know, the whitewashing.
I don't know that it makes sense with this. I think Ghost in the Shell was a huge mistake. Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, and that was also a little bit more blatant because everyone knows Ghost in the Shell. And it was obvious that was whitewashing going on.
Right. Well, for sure. And it would have been better if she was Asian in that.
Yo, totally. Absolutely.
It would have made more sense. Okay, so I don't want to derail into a Ghost in the Shell conversation.
Right. I just felt that it was pertinent to bring up because...
No, it is pertinent to bring up.
People are talking about it.
So I'm okay, then I can't get into the ending. More thoughts from you guys before we get into spoiler territory.
Yeah, actually, for me personally, I understand... what Anthony was saying about Natalie Portman's character. I felt like there's times where she's kind of wooden.
Very wooden, yeah.
Yeah. And
it bothered
me.
Very
stoic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stoic.
And she's gotten that complaint about other movies she's been in, as, you know, being stoic or being not emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I felt like she should have been a little bit more emotional considering, you know, she hasn't seen her husband in a year.
Yeah.
And, you
well,
know.
Well, and she didn't even know if he was a thing anymore.
Right, exactly. But... I felt like even though her performance wasn't as solid throughout the film, the cast around her was amazing. Like, I felt like, you know, she has such a great supporting cast that they kind of picked up the weight for her when she wasn't, you know, I guess at her best in the film. I really dug the fact that it was an all-female science team, you know,
that had
to go in there and... kind of figure out what was going on because all the men had failed before them.
Well, see,
you know?
I do wish, though, that it's all-female science team going in, and I would defend, actually, Natalie Portman in it because she's a scientist, and I feel like... What?
Yeah, but I've met scientists, and they aren't that bland and boring.
Well, okay. But I think when it comes to science, it is sort of a cold, like, you're, you know, it's you know.
And that's fair. She was also a soldier. So she was a soldier and a scientist. Yeah. So maybe that's why she had a harder exterior, I guess.
But I think
it's just Natalie Portman.
Well, I do wish in the marketing, though, because if you actually look at the poster for Annihilation and the female-led Ghostbusters side by side, they look very similar.
True.
Which was confusing to me.
Yeah.
So I would defend that. So, Norm, any thoughts before? Because here's what's weird is, I've never seen a movie, I think, with four people ever where there was consensus that we all really enjoyed the film. Like, and people stayed, this is something you don't see often at a lot of these screenings, is people staying, like, through the credits. And I mean is a chunk of the audience.
The end credits were, like, pretty.
Oh, right.
They were a trip.
It was like there was some beauty.
Like a light show almost.
Yeah, precisely. But before we move on, because it's amazing that there's consensus among this group on, you know, how much they like the film, but before we move on, because I want to get into spoilers, because I'm just too excited to talk about it. Okay. Your final thoughts.
Before we move on
to spoiler.
Okay,
talk,
here are my final thoughts. I would agree that Natalie Portman it came off as stoic, unemotional, wooden at times. I don't think that was entirely her problem. I think that there was not enough given to her in you know, in the film.
That's fair.
But she was also trying to be this, you know, military scientist. So I'll give her a pass on that one. And plus, I am a fan anyway, so I just dig her. But once they got into the movie, I was crazy about Jennifer Jason Leigh. I mean, that woman does not get enough work.
Yeah.
She needs to be in more of everything.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
And, you know, I mean, go back and look at Hudsucker Proxy, and this is the same woman. I mean, that movie's amazing. So all of these people are in this film, and they all do an amazing job, and I need to see more of all of them. That being said, the film might divide people because it, like I said before, it makes you work a little. You know, it's really cerebral at times. So
that's like one of the best parts of the film.
Yeah,
the fact that
great.
It stops to actually discuss the science, what their theory about what's happening inside the shimmer.
Right.
There's like layers of we're learning this, then we learn how it functions, and I don't know. I can't. But the one thing is, I do think they should have explained why, because they sent in other groups before this group went in. So the first group was a group of men. Why was it a group of women this time? I think there should have been an explanation, and there could have been an easy explanation for it, but why was it only women that they were choosing to go in for this particular time?
Yeah.
I just feel like it needed a line just to explain it, because I feel it should have been mentioned.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well.
Yeah, but that is such a quibble. Doesn't ruin the movie at all. So, now we've entered the spoiler zone.
Here we go.
Wait. You didn't ask.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. Dante, do you have any final
thoughts?
Did you guys have final thoughts before we enter the spoiler zone? I preempt.
Yes, actually, just one. I also felt like it was a bit of a miscast with Gina Rodriguez. Like, because I love her. I love her. You know, I watched Jane the Virgin, so. I'm a big fan, but I felt like for her character, it was a little weird seeing her in that role, because she doesn't really pull that off well. Even though I thought she was okay in the film, she was fine. But to be that military badass, like or to come off, she had the look of a military badass, but she really wasn't, I guess. But it didn't fit. Something didn't fit with her acting and that particular and her look in that particular role. So
all right, and Anthony.
Okay, again, I love the film. I hope it does well. I don't think it'll do well. I think it'll just
see, this is depressing to me.
Yeah,
I agree with you, and that makes me sad that like we can't have smart science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think the concepts behind this film are beyond interesting. I think they're fascinating. I think that the characters are weak, but the film's premise holds up. I think that, and we'll talk about this in spoiler territory, but I think that this film has one of the most terrifying scenes I've seen in a long,
yes, I agree with
long
that.
Time.
It was so good.
Yeah, and the audience reaction was great.
I might think there's like two terrifying scenes that come to mind.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Garland knocked it out of the park with this. I just wish the characters were a little bit stronger, but I definitely recommend this film.
Okay, and now we've entered the spoiler zone.
Spoiler zone. Here we go.
Spoilers.
This is a cue to put in some music or something. There could be music for the spoiler zone.
I know what I'm doing, Chris.
Wow, what an ending. Who'd have thought Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Thank you, Mr. Blow the Picture for me.
Okay, so now that we're talking spoilers, let's get right into it. And I want to say, actually, we were talking about smart sci-fi. That's what they say could really save Star Trek, is that Star Trek used to be about smart sci-fi, and it used to be about a show about ideas and exploring concepts, and it wasn't a big budget thing that it's become with the J.J. Abrams sexy Star Trek universe,
right,
with all focus on action. I feel like this movie represents, like, let's just do something, maybe it's a little lower budget, but it actually explores ideas. So what I loved about this, the aspects of this film, is at times it felt like The Thing.
Yes,
during the terrifying scenes. The ending of the movie, which I know we'll get into later, felt like kind of like 2001 in a sense,
yeah,
at least
like
in the final
what
scene.
The
like,
fuck is going on?
It's like
on.
Trippy. What the hell's going on? And then it's kind of explained. You figure it out by what's going on, but it did feel like that 2001 becoming something else. And if anything alien, if we actually ever encountered anything alien in the galaxy, any real alien life form, it would be nothing like us. It would look anything like us.
Right.
It might be based on a different, it wouldn't necessarily be carbon-based even. And we'd have no reference point to it, like in terms of its culture, in terms of how it even thinks, in terms of what it consumes. Like, and even what's weird is, because I have a friend, James Kerwin, who actually is a director on Star Trek Continues, and he's in Mensa. He's like, and I love talking to him because it's like, I don't know, getting into super nerdy conversation. He says, even if we could find life in some other place in the galaxy, that it would actually reach the pinnacle of that civilization to even be intelligent enough to attempt communication, that it would exist at the same time, like in this, I want to say time zone, but that's not exactly what I mean,
time
but
frame?
In the same time frame that they would exist, is like such a, and basically he says that he's talked to friends who have worked at SETI that have said, yeah, we've been sending out signals. There's nothing. We've been listening. We're sending out signals. There's nothing else that we can find out there. That actual life out there. We may be like this anomaly floating ball in the universe. And I think it's very rare we get to actually think that way. That,
right.
You know, in terms of like, which I think helps you appreciate life, helps you I mean, it can be a dark thought, but I actually think it's a positive in the sense that it makes us, boy, I've really gone down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
But
someone cut me off.
That's what good sci-fi does, though. It makes you think, you know.
Yeah.
And
it provokes discussion.
And I feel like this movie actually does that. Like, going back off what Anthony said, this movie is smart sci-fi, you know. And by saying that, people, when they hear smart sci-fi, they think, oh, great, it's for geeks. No, it's just a movie that makes you think. You know, it's a movie that delves into the fantastic. It makes you think, and if nothing else, this movie does that. It makes you think, because like I told Anthony when we walked out, I was like, I'm not sure what I just watched. And not in a bad way. I mean, like in a way where my mind is kind of like in a million different places with this film, because the concepts are so out there, you know. But it's been a while since we had a film where it's so out there that you're not sure what you just watched.
Yeah, because nobody wants to be challenged nowadays.
No.
Exactly.
Wants to think. They want to escape. And part of the fun of good sci-fi is that it takes you to these fantastic places and also gets you thinking about what can be or what might happen or, you know.
And to be honest, you know, I mean, it's not like it's just weird concepts. I mean, we do get kind of a monster movie in this film as well. I mean,
we get some
horrifying creatures in this movie.
Because the DNA, of course, of everything that's in the shimmer is
basically being reflected upon itself.
Right.
And refracting and blending.
And being altered and altered from the inside. I mean, there's some horrific... You mentioned horrific scenes. Now I can think of three. There's, you know, Oscar Isaac on video. You see some video footage of Oscar Isaac in the shimmer sort of demonstrating. I mean, there's imagery that's right out of, like, The Thing or,
When that scene came up, and I was like, oh, man, you know, me being the horror guy.
Right.
I was like, oh, shit, are they going to go there? and he pulls out the knife and just stabs it into the guy's abdomen. And you know what? The camera doesn't pull away.
No, it doesn't.
It just stays right there. And I was like, oh, man.
I mean, sure it was a digital effect, but it's interesting, a digital effect within this video footage.
And that's only one scene. I mean, this movie goes hard. This movie goes hard.
But what I think that a more mainstream audience is probably going to look at it and go, I'm scared. This is gross. I didn't get it. I didn't get the ending necessarily. I mean, I think maybe the very ending where there's a question, because we were kind of debating about, do we want to start talking about the ending? We should start talking about the ending.
Yeah, I mean, because we can always
We're gonna bounce back and forth and all over the place.
Bounce around anyway, so yeah, go for it.
Yeah, but okay, so this ending, there's a copy of her is made by this alien form, has copied her in kind of a thing-like sense. It almost felt like The Thing, and then also parts of it like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
The scene in particular where they're tied up was very much like The Thing, and I'm not sure if that's out of the book, but that's one of my favorite scenes in The Thing. It's so great. The tension of there's a creature in the room and you're tied up and helpless, which is, you know, I thought that scene was great. But the scene where it's Natalie Portman at the end, she learns the fate of her husband. She goes down the rabbit hole, so to speak, to see Ventress and Ventress's fate turned into sort of mid turning into The Thing, whatever that thing is. And then Natalie Portman gets the same reflection, this whole, you know, a reflective version of herself that's in mid form.
That thing looked like the, like a gray or silver spray painted Oscar statue.
Yes, oh my gosh, it did look like an Oscar statue.
It bothered me. I hated it.
I hated it so much. I didn't mind it because I knew what it represented. And also the other thing to think that really impressed me was the sound design for this movie. The sound creepy. I thought it was creepy. I thought it was haunting. It was like, it just put you in the, you know,
no,
didn't work for
no.
you?
It no. sounded like somebody was farting out dubstep
no,
at some
that's
point.
Not, I
hated it.
I disagree.
No, wait, are you talking about sound design or score?
Both.
No. The score, whatever. Both, I didn't pay whatever. Attention to the score.
Look,
I'm
talking about
design.
Specifically the ending. Like,
yes,
the rest of the movie was great.
I thought it was great.
But the ending, like, when they're in the cave and the monster is, like, you know, moving around, it sounds like it's farting out dubstep noises.
I disagree, but this is a minor point. You still said you loved it, and we have it on tape.
I have gripes, but they're minor gripes.
Yes, minor nitpicks. But and then
go
there's
see the
question,
movie.
The question of when she, when you know, because the whole thing, there's this device where they're interviewing her, and she's debriefing her experience,
right.
So everything's a flashback, right? We finally catch up to the present, and the question is it her, or is it the thing that made it out and lied about the last part?
Yeah.
Is it the copy of her?
Is it the copy of her that made it out? And I think that it kind of could be interpreted as both.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
My thought was, because within the film, their body chemistry is changing.
Right.
Their DNA is being kind of rewritten in a weird way. I don't know necessarily if Natalie Portman's character would have survived if she left that place, like, because everyone else's bodies were changing too much.
Right.
You know, her husband or whatever, his body. Well, I guess it wasn't him in the first place. But the point is that their body chemistries were changing so much, she couldn't have held that same physical form outside of the shimmer. At least my thoughts were. I mean, I could be totally wrong on this.
No, I like this theory. See, now I want to, like, I'm curious about these other two books. So the first movie really only covers the first book.
I have no idea.
Well, that's, I guess, what Alex Garland said, but,
right.
You know.
Well, now, I heard that there was controversy about the ending, that the studio was not behind this ending because it is, I don't want to say it's a depressing ending. It might be confusing.
Ambiguous.
It's very ambiguous.
Okay.
It's very ambiguous, and you don't know.
Well, that's true.
You really have no idea. You know, you don't have a resolution. You don't.
Yeah. I don't, unless, like, they don't have plans to make another one, which might be the case. Like, I don't know. I don't think she became a copy. I think Dante said. Like,
no, I think she's a copy.
I don't think
so.
No.
I think that, you know, it's funny because when the movie, you know, in the very beginning of the film, when Oscar Isaac shows back up to the house and he sits down, I was like, copy, he's a clone.
No, that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that immediately.
And he never gave me the impression otherwise because he was always just like absorbing information around him and like figuring things out.
He was confused.
Yeah, very. Like, oh, what did we do? What, you know, I was just in the house and then I saw you there, and, you know. But I think that, yeah, at the ending, she left the Shimmer DNA completely irrevocably scrambled, and he was a copy.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. For sure, yeah. But then, here's the one thing I'm glad they didn't do. Like, when you make a copy, you don't get a copy with your clothes. The clothes do not get copied at the same time as you. You have to get new clothes or put on the clothes of your copy. That's so I'm glad that they didn't go in that direction.
No, they actually, no.
She
formed in front of Natalie. Natalie formed in front of Natalie.
Oh, that's, wait a second.
With clothes on.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so I am wrong in that sense.
Yeah, but you know what? DNA and cells and, you know.
And again, we're talking about an alien, though. We're not talking about, like, a human.
Right,
you
right.
know, an alien can do whatever they want because the physics don't apply, you know. Our physics don't apply to.
Well, I like to think in an early draft of the script, there was a naked Natalie Portman standing next to Natalie
Portman.
And
I would like to think there was a naked Oscar Isaac.
well, then there we go.
See, we can both make our own movie.
But I do like that they spent time in that final scene. It wasn't like the simple wrapped up thing. As she's approaching the lighthouse, that's the rabbit hole you go down. It was like they extended the scene because it got trippy. I mean, we mentioned that it got trippy. The closer and closer they got to the lighthouse, the weirder the forms, the alien life forms were. And Tessa Thompson's character just goes off and turns into this. She's sort of morphing into a plant-based
version. Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I thought that was just. And it, like, she just sort of gave into it. She didn't want to fight it.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
And it was kind of a chilling scene.
It was chilling.
Because she just kind of gave up, and as she was giving up, she just became part of that world, you know, and that plant life, and it was almost more scary than the actual monster killing, you know.
Yes, because it was like she was accepting her own death.
Yes. And
her own fate.
It was defeat, you know, and it was assimilation, and it was like, I'm fine with this now.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just gonna let whatever happens. Okay, I want to hear your guys' thoughts on the ending because I've talked enough.
Well, before we do that, though, if you don't mind, I do want to get just a little bit into the creatures because I felt like the creatures were, I mean, it's funny because they were familiar but horrifying at the same time. And me and Anthony were talking about the fact that it's nothing scarier than seeing, like, a creature on film, like an animal-type creature, with a human voice, you know, and that scene
freaks
me
terrifying.
The fuck out. Like, more than any scene I've seen in a long time.
That's the scene I was talking about.
That scene is horrifying. Yeah.
It is chilling.
Yeah.
And the scene in question is where, you know, the monster comes in, has killed one of their team, and comes in and has absorbed the energy and the brain cells and the memory of its victim. And so when it's roaring at them, coming after them, it's actually the voice of the person they used to know.
At the point where, like, she
at the
was
point of
ripped
death.
Apart.
Killed,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, her and, death rattle, in a sense.
I was just thinking about it. It just freaks me out. It's like, it's such a
good
freaky
stuff.
Scene.
Good stuff.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Have any of you guys played The Last of Us on PlayStation?
Nope.
I have not.
I have.
Okay.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah. It's a great game. A lot of the scenery with, like, the plant life kind of taken over reminded me of that game. I would love to see Alex Garland, like,
direct. Take a crack at it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he would be perfect for it.
I would just like to see more Alex Garland science fiction, because I feel that... actually, you know, I met him once at the Tribeca Film Festival years ago, and I think it was 28 Weeks Later was playing at the festival, and we bonded over Logan's Run. We're both Logan's Run fans, because I know that he had worked on a version of Logan's Run at one point, and we bonded over that, and I think Flash Gordon. So yeah. He's a big, I mean, this guy is a legit sci-fi, he's a nerd like any one of us here, but takes it really deeply seriously, and I feel like it's not taken, as much as, like, I love my Marvel and Star Wars movies,
right.
That's not serious science fiction.
No, it's, not at all.
It's adventure, and it's, yeah, so.
Not to harp on this.
Please.
But another thing that reminded me of The Last of Us, and honestly, I wouldn't put it past Alex Garland that he has played it, or has, like, pitched to do.
Why don't you tweet at him and
maybe
ask?
Maybe I will. But the music also. Like, a lot of the music for The Last of Us is acoustic guitar. And as soon as I saw, like, the scenery with the acoustic guitar, I was like, yeah, The Last of Us, yeah.
Well, that's maybe...
There's a lot of similarities, too.
But that, like, could be a production designer. You don't know, and...
That's true.
Yeah.
I like to think that Alex Garland is going to make The Last of Us.
But what I like
I'll
is...
I'll tweet him.
This really didn't... I mean, even though it reminded me of the thing, it still didn't look like other... It had a very original look to it.
And yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so... I can't believe that we're all in agreement that we are where, and the thing is this, it makes me want to see it again too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I still don't feel like I got all the concepts, and I want to kind of go back and, you know, catch the things that I definitely missed, because I feel like I did miss some things in there.
Yeah. I want to see if Natalie Portman's character, Lena, absorbed other traits. Cause obviously, like, she had the tattoo. I want to see if there's other things that she absorbed from the other characters she went in with the shimmer.
Right, right.
Like, I tried looking.
Oh, my God, that's right. I didn't even think about the tattoo.
See,
ugh. I want to just, like, go in, like, maybe, like, I know her eye color is kind of turned a little red.
Yeah, they fluttered, like, an orangey, yellowy thing.
But maybe there's something else.
Like, but,
maybe,
you know, I don't know if any of you guys caught this one, but towards the very end, she takes a drink of water, and she sets the water down, and the water becomes sentient, kind of.
It kind of moves in an odd way. Like, and there was an interesting thing when she first sees her husband. You see their hands clasped between the water. Like, the water sort of represents the shimmer, and sort of, like, it alters the look.
The prism.
It bends the reality of the...
It literally, you know, changes the look of something. So...
I didn't even think of that. You're right.
Yeah. So, I love when directors do those little visual things, and it's like, oh, I know what you're trying to do. It's pretty cool. I hope you do more stuff like that so I can notice it and point it out and then look like I'm smart. But, what? I'm... Look, I just... Any movie like this that, like, makes you want to talk about it after and discuss it and debate it and not agree on everything, that's a good film. Rather than... troll people on the internet, which seems to be a thing that people enjoy doing now. I don't know what you get out of that. I don't know what enjoyment people get. I prefer what we're doing now, having a civil discussion about a movie we, for the most part, we all have nitpicks about it.
And I feel like, honestly, this is kind of the first movie in a long time where I felt even the need or urge to talk about it after. You know, most movies I've seen lately, it's like, okay, I've seen it. You know, I really don't need to talk about it because I get it, whatever. But I think it's probably been, maybe not since 12 Monkeys, maybe, where I felt like just the urge to want to, you know, talk about a film right after I saw it, because I did, you know, it was a lot to grasp, you know?
Right,
right. Wow, 12 Monkeys. I haven't thought about that movie in a long time.
Great movie. That's a deep cut.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Or like Fight Club. That movie was like
Fight
one of those.
Fight Club was,
like,
yeah, that was
that's
amazing.
That's one that, like, okay, we need to have a discussion. But although, I have to say, like, on the whole car ride over, we practically did a Black Panther podcast because we talked so much about it. And that's also a movie that, like, for different reasons than this film, begs discussion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That, that is a good result of that movie. Is a discussion we should all be having. So, okay.
Well, that and farting dubstep.
farting dubstep. I disagree with that.
I totally disagree, and I'll tell you something else. Like,
let's hear it.
I actually really liked the score. Stop. I really liked the original score. I liked that, you know, when they were wandering around in the swamp, you know, you heard the acoustic guitar. I was like, why are they using acoustic guitar? It's because they were out in the swamp and the nature when, you know, the alien creatures and things like that were around. They were using the more, you know, the farting dubstep, as you call it, you know, to reference, you know, the alien life form. And it was just, I dug it. I totally dug it.
I dug it too. The sound design. It's not the score, you could argue, but the sound design was haunting, creepy, weird, otherworldly. And that's why, for me, reminded me of 2001 somewhat.
I know the difference between score and sound design.
All right. Yeah,
what you saying? There's one thing, too, that for me, I felt like, I'm glad like they didn't really get into the aliens until the end. Like,
because
for the longest time, while we're watching it, there's weird mutations going on, but no sign of aliens, but yeah, we know something crashed into Earth.
Right.
And so it's kind of cool they waited to the very end to reveal, yes, it definitely is aliens involved.
Yeah, you saw the effects of the alien in their presence, but you didn't get to see them until the end.
It could have been a Terran reality or like an alternate reality thing. We saw that in the Cloverfield Paradox.
Right.
You know, that
sort
of thing.
And that worked so well.
Yeah.
And wasn't there like a TV series on CBS for a short time about like some
Sliders.
Yeah, no, not Sliders. I'm talking about some dome thing that like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the dome.
The dome.
The dome, yeah. I remember watching that and just being disappointed with most traditional mainstream...
Based on a Stephen King story.
Right. Yeah, those...
Under the dome. Yeah, that's what it was.
Under the dome, right. But I think, you know, like the streaming services, obviously like Netflix with Black Mirror, I mean, you know, that's where I think... Good science fiction, with the exception of maybe, in your case, the Cloverfield.
Hated it.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it for what it was. My expectations were low, and they delivered.
Okay,
cool.
Boy, they delivered low.
Right. Anyways, gentlemen, where can we find you on social media, Norman?
Well, obviously, you're going
too.
To. Yeah, I mean, I'm writing this review, right?
Of course, yeah.
Writing
for the website.
Yeah, writing this review for Film Threat and also for my horror site, Horror Buzz, where we don't just talk about horror movies, we talk about haunts and games and books and any way that you could possibly get scared.
And you can follow Horror Buzz at
Horror Buzz on Twitter, and I think it's horror_buzz on Twitter, and then Horror Buzz on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Subscribe on the YouTube channel.
Cool.
And we got walkthroughs and VR stuff too. Did you know that one?
Ah, nice. Yeah. Dante, where can we find
you? I'm a little easier to find. You can find me actually on Film Threat as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find me on social media, on Twitter at Bootsy Starchild, and that's BOOTSY Starchild. And the reason why I do have that name, and people have been asking me that about this a lot lately, is me and some friends got drunk a little while back, and you know, we started playing this game where we came up with like, you know, really ridiculous R&B names. So Bootsy Starchild was my ridiculous R&B name, and for some reason it kind of stuck. So that's where you can find me on Twitter. That's where I talk the most shit. And you can find me unfiltered and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. And your Instagram, is it the same?
Same thing. Bootsy Starchild.
Okay, your Instagram is just fantastic. And you're just...
Thank you.
Yeah. They're just... Well, also, there's people that I feel like really know how to use social media in a sense. Like, just knowing you, I know you don't take yourself too seriously. You have a good sense of humor. But you take the subjects you talk about very seriously. And... I don't know. I just I love your social feed. So everyone follow Bootsy Starchild. And Anthony,
I'm on Twitter at This Game Cheats. And if you follow me anywhere else, I'll be creeped out because they're all at their private accounts.
And I'm that Chris Gore. And then Film Threat, you can find as Film Threat on anything.
Yeah.
All right. So
let's get out of here.
We're done.
Yay.